lay near a freshly dug stock well. If you're through fun and let's get this job finished, I got plans later. Letting his laughter cool to a slow boil, the elder Harmon took the snake and his rifle to the tool wagon, hitched to a stout, hip-shot gelding. Those plans happen to be named Crystal Johnson? They might. What you got going? Dance over at the Bitter Creek School. Sounds serious. You better head on back to the ranch and get cleaned up. It's pretty near four. Jody shook his head and talked around the nails in his mouth. You'll never get this done yourself by nightfall. Harmon smiled at his son. The dark eyes and taut, determined jaw reminded him of his wife, Jody's mother, a Canadian Cree named Takwa-e-mi-na-na. The name meant choke cherry in English. She'd been born during the moon of the ripening choke cherries. A humble, big-hearted woman whose easy nature and life joy had equaled that of her father, Chief Stick. She'd been a hard worker to boot. Bill remembered years ago waking at 3 a.m. and watching her sew moccasins by firelight in her hide-bottomed chair while humming the ancient song she'd learned from her grandmothers. Jody didn't have her sense of humor, but he had her vigor and her practicality, not to mention her soulful eyes, sleek, coal-black hair, and quiet dignity. "Who says we have to have it done by nightfall anyway?" Harmon said. "Like I always told my old hunting buddy, Ben Stillman, you're dead a long time." Jody gave the final licks to a nail and sat back on his haunches. "Ben Stillman again? Pa, you're living in the past." "Ben Stillman is not the past. He's alive and kicking, though I ain't seen him in 20 years. "How do you know he's alive then?" "They used to tell about him in the Great Falls paper, but it's been a while. Might be dead now, I'll admit. The likes of me and Ben, we don't live long." He paused, studying the ground in contemplative silence. Jody watched him, wishing he could read the old hide hunter's mind. "Anyway," Bill said, slapping the boy's knee, "this tar isn't going anywhere, and we got some time before the serious powder flies. So you head back to the cabin and get gussied up for your girl." "Let's both cash it in then." Bill shook his head. "Nah, I'll dally here, hammer a few more nails, and enjoy the sun going down. When you're scraping 50 and don't have women waiting for you anymore, you start appreciating things like the sun going down. Pathetic, ain't it?" "You sure, Pa?" "Sure as your noodle was just about snake supper."
"Will you quit?"
Jody set his hammer in the tool wagon and rolled down his shirt sleeves. "Well, don't try to do too much and irritate your shoulder." "Don't worry about me, young'un. You just worry about keeping that little woman happy so she doesn't fall for one of those Dutchmen in Hungry Hollow." Harmon's dark blonde beard broadened with a smile. His eyes glittered.
"Little chance of that," Jody said. "Crystal Johnson likes her Dutch spiced with Injun."
Grinning, he mounted his horse while his father held the bridle. Jody nodded, giving his buckskin the spurs.
"See you back at the cabin."
Harmon watched him ride off down the two-track wagon trail, narrowing between fur-covered ridges, disappearing around a hill. Dust and the sound of his hoofbeats lingered in the still September air. That was quite a boy he and Cherry had raised. Bill wished she could see him now. Practically a man. She died of pneumonia 4 years ago, and he'd wrapped her in deerskins and laid her in a tree on Mount Baldy, offering her back to Mother Earth and Father Sky. He wondered if Ben Stillman was gone now, too. The prospect of it filled him with nostalgia, and he got out his Bull Durham and indulged in a smoke. When the sun had burnished the southern ridge top, filling the valley with cool blue shade, he ground the butt with his boot heel, donned his gloves, adjusted his hat, and picked up his hammer. He was lost in his work when the gelding whinnied and shook its mane. He looked up to see a rider at the high end of the valley following the trail out from the pine woods and curling around a tawny knoll studded with rocks. The old gray mule came on slowly, swinging its forelegs as though they were lead. Its head hung down, its ears twitched, its back sagged with the weight of the burly rider. Harmon recognized